Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from
the Elm Street Group at Morgan Stanley, working with clients to create enduring financial value and a lasting impact through sustainable investing solutions. A local wealth management team with global insights. Find out more at the Elm Street Group at morganstanley.com.
And from Dartmouth Hitchcock, imagine nationally ranked healthcare in your community. With convenient locations throughout northern New England, world-class providers are closer than you think. Visit dartmouthhitchcock.org to learn more. Dartmouth Hitchcock is here.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Top brass from the Veterans Administration in Washington landed in Manchester this week after a Boston Globe investigative report found some Granite State veterans were being harmed instead of healed by the local VA hospital. The charges came from a group of doctors and other providers who had long felt their concerns were unheeded by administrators, and so they finally blew the whistle. Now, as federal officials swoop in, they'll have lots of questions to sort through. How did it get so bad at Manchester to the point where these doctors felt they couldn't help their patients? Also, how bad was it really, given that the hospital had received high marks from the feds and from many veterans themselves? And the biggest question, what now? What will federal and state leaders do to make this situation better? How much can they do, given the broader problems that afflict the VA health system nationwide? That's what we're asking today in The Exchange, and let's hear from you. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. We'll bring lots of voices into our conversation this morning. We start with Alfred Montoya. He's director of the White River Junction VA. He was appointed as interim director at the Manchester VA after the former director was removed. And Director Montoya, it's good to have you. We know this has been a very busy week. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Laura, and thank you for inviting me to The Exchange.
Well, what's your broad reaction to this report, Director Montoya?
Yeah, so, you know, what I can say is that, you know, I have been here now, this is my fourth day. You know, certainly yesterday, we at the medical center were surprised by a flood at 4 o'clock in the morning, which, you know, certainly impacted the third through the sixth floor of the medical center. So right now, we're actually in the process of looking to maintain operations and ramp back up. So certainly have updates on that.
So a flood, but what about the report from the Boston Globe that sort of blew this whole thing open on Sunday, and people have been talking about it all week?
Yeah, so you know what I can say is that I would direct you to Secretary Shulkin's statement, which he released on Sunday, which, you know, certainly he ordered a top-to-bottom review of the Manchester VA Medical Center, which is currently underway. I will tell you that this week, actually on Monday, we had two groups come to the facility already, the Office of the Medical Inspector, as well as the Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection. And those are just two of the groups that are coming in. There are certainly more to come in the near future, as well as weeks after that.
Well, you mentioned Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Dr. David Shulkin. He was on the Jack Heath Show on WGIR early this week, offering assurances about the investigation and about the quality of care. Let's hear.
What we're doing right now, starting today, is making sure that we're undertaking a thorough review to assure that the VA is a place of high quality. Our patient satisfaction data, which is asking veterans themselves, those who go and get their care there, it's extremely high, much higher than other parts of the country. And so I don't want to prematurely tell people that they shouldn't have confidence, but I can assure you we're going to get to the bottom of it very soon.
So again, that is Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Dr. David Shulkin, on the Jack Heath Show on WGIR. So Director Montoya, what conversations have you had so far with the team that arrived from Washington? What do they want to know, and what have you been telling them?
Sure. So I think that's certainly a fair question, Laura. And I will tell you that once the groups actually land, I don't have much involvement with them, as their investigation is certainly separate than what we're doing here at the medical center. You know, as I came in on Monday, you know, my job is to make sure that I'm out listening to veterans and employees and hearing their concerns and really being transparent and ensuring that that open door policy which I've had before up in White River Junction, is certainly being met. You know, I think my biggest priority right now moving forward, certainly over the next weeks and months to come, is to really look at our operations as a whole here in Manchester and how we can complement those with other providers in the region, as well as other VAs in the region, and certainly during this time where, you know, we faced a crisis yesterday where, you know, 800 of our employees or so rallied to make sure that we were continuing to provide the best care possible to our veterans.
Out of that flood you're talking about, right?
Out of the flood, absolutely.
Sure. So what are you hearing from patients and from doctors? You said you're sort of spending your first couple of days just hearing from folks.
Yeah, so I hear all sorts of comments, Laura. You know, I hear the positives, the negatives. I hear ways that we can make improvements. You know, that's my job as a medical center director, acting medical center director, is to really listen to the feedback from our veterans, as you may know. And I stated on the Jack Heath show this morning, you know, I am a veteran. I was in the Air Force for 10 and a half years, medically separated, and I get 100% of my health care within the VA. So for me, this is a personal mission of my own, to make sure that we're doing this right and getting listening to the feedback of our veterans.
Well, speaking of talking to the doctors, especially the whistleblowers, new report on WMUR, Director Montoya says that the whistleblower doctors on Tuesday were asked to sign a form promising not to speak about the investigation. One doctor felt it was a gag order. That's his term. Are you aware of this don't speak request?
You know, I certainly can't speak to that, Laura. I'm not aware of anything like that. As yesterday, I was actually immersed in water up to, in some cases, my knees. And so really, yesterday, I don't think people understand how big of a crisis that was and what we actually were faced with yesterday. And so I know that there was a statement that the Secretary's office put out yesterday regarding that. And so we can certainly point that in your direction.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that last part? What you
sure.
just said?
Sure. So, you know, I think the Secretary's statement yesterday, you know, really stated that this is normal and that this is in place to protect our veterans and their privacy.
What's normal? Saying we want you to sign this document that you won't say anything?
You know, in any kind of statement like that, you know, certainly this is something that, you know, yesterday I was immersed in the cleanup operations, so I can't speak specifically to that. But, you know, I was running up and down many floors here, making sure that our veterans are getting the care, and if not, that we were calling our veterans and getting them rescheduled.
Is it appropriate at this point in time when these docs have kind of come forward and said, hey, you know, we're really concerned about this care, to tell them, don't say anything? I mean, again, I know this gag order, if we can call it that, didn't come from you, but I just wonder how you feel about it at this particular time.
Well, so, Laura, I'll tell you, I've had many feelings since Sunday, as I was notified Sunday evening that I was to report to Manchester on Monday morning. So my feelings have gone all the way across the spectrum, and, you know, certainly not thinking that there was going to be a major flood on Wednesday either that we were going to be you know, faced with. I will tell you that my main priority here is to be very transparent and open, to listen. I told our employees yesterday during a town hall with the principal deputy undersecretary for health that we will be having town halls with our staff and our stakeholders to really listen to what they have to say and what their concerns are, and really use that to formulate the way forward for this organization.
It seems, just doing all the reading, the Globe report, letters from last fall from lawyers, members of Congress, complaints to various agencies, it does seem, Director Montoya, that there were concerns circulating for a long time. Why do you think it took a Boston Globe report to finally bust this open?
You know, again, Laura, my first day was on Sunday, you know, Sunday night, Monday morning, so I can't speak to that. You know, I can tell you that I have been very transparent with all of our congressionals. As you know, White River Junction, the White River Junction VA Medical Center shares the same congressional stakeholders as the Manchester catchment area does. And so, you know, we are actually continuing the process of listening to our veterans, our stakeholders, our staff, and this is what we're going to be doing going forward.
Some staff, Director Montoya, have been worried about retaliation, retribution for coming forward. Do you have a policy that will make them feel better that they won't pay a price for speaking up for their patients?
You know, so I think the department does have a policy on that, and it was very clear in Secretary Shulkin's statement, as well as him sending out the Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection. As you may or may not know, that is a new office that was stood up because of recent legislation. And so this is something that the secretary certainly takes seriously, as you can see in the statements that he's put out.
Some of the problems that came up, you know, at the Veterans Hospital in Manchester seemed very local, Director Montoya, and others seem swept up in some of the broader issues affecting the VA, issues that I'm sure you dealt with as director of White River Junction. Veterans' choice, Director Montoya, is often mentioned as part of the problem. Doctors in Manchester wanted to send their patients out of network. The VA didn't want to pay for it. The veteran was then told to go to Veterans Choice. That takes a gazillion years to process. Meanwhile, the physical condition gets worse. I wonder if you see Veterans Choice as part of the problem here.
Well, so I think certainly if you look at the secretary's top priorities for the agency, which he has released, you know, the redesigning choice and to choice 2.0 is certainly among the top of his priorities to get done. And so, you know, we're going to be taking different measures to be able to make sure that we help our veterans navigate through that choice process here, you know, taking models such as a case management or an integrated case management model that really has VA, and certainly in this case Manchester, employees helping veterans navigate through that choice process. This is one that we have actually good success with actually in White River Junction over the last 120 days. And it's certainly a step in the right direction to make sure that we're getting out there. We're helping our veterans navigate through that process, and whether they get the care within the VA or outside using choice or whatever mechanism there is to come, you know, that's certainly my priority to make that as easy as possible.
Yeah, I had heard that at White River you asked for more funds to send veterans outside the system when you felt they needed that care, and you were successful. The doctors in Manchester weren't as successful. They, again, tried to get the best care for their vets outside the system if necessary, and they were told, no, it's too expensive. How hopeful are you, Director Montoya, that you'll have the budgetary authority to do this?
So I'm very hopeful that I'm going to be out there listening to our veterans and our staff and our stakeholders and getting out there. You know, right now we're in the works of trying to get a veteran town hall scheduled, which we will certainly get all the information out there to get that feedback so as many veterans as possible can show up. But I think, you know, I'm certainly hopeful in that we can take this opportunity and learn from it as an organization. As you may or may not know, I have some background in Lean Six Sigma and process improvement and systems redesign. And so certainly looking at the processes here at the Manchester VA Medical Center, much like we have in White River, is going to give us those opportunities for improvement. That coupled with the veteran feedback and stakeholder feedback, you know, it's certainly going to improve any system regardless of where you're at.
Speaking of this federal investigation, Director Montoya, how much information does a VA medical center director like you, how much information do you get about these investigations like the one that is now just getting underway? Are you closely involved? Are you, you know, sort of on the sidelines, help when asked?
No, so I will tell you that we're here to facilitate those investigations moving forward, and that's it. As the secretary ordered a top-to-bottom review, this, you know, I'm focused on operations in the facility and continuing that, making sure our veterans get access to care. And so I would say, you know, we're here in a facilitation mode to give them space and then also give them the latitude to do their jobs as appropriate.
You know, we talked about some of the systemic problems that the Veterans Health System has had. Again, Veterans Choice, you know, funding issues, trying to go outside of network. Some of the problems that the Globe mentions, though, and the doctors in their various letters and complaints do seem quite local, not part of broader systemic issues. For example, an infestation of flies in an operating room, and not just, you know, a one-time thing, for years. I mean, I have to say, like, how hard is it to get rid of flies?
You know, so I think that just depends. You know, I certainly can't speak to the specifics on this because I was not here. I can speak to everything as of Monday morning going forward. You know, I have walked this facility more in the last 4 days than I think I've ever walked any facility, and that's basically due to the flood and all of that. But, you know, I put an eyes on in those areas, and I think, you know, we have this opportunity to make those improvements and to hear from our staff, you know, whether it be through my open door policy, which I've had up in White River Junction, which has been quite popular, to my monthly sessions with our veterans service officers, you know, to all the different avenues of communication. You know, I'm a firm believer in making sure that I'm as available as a medical center director as a veteran to our veterans out there to be able to assist. And so I would say that, you know, more often than not, I do give out my cell phone number in public forums to be able to have them call me to raise those concerns. And I think that, you know, that certainly, that level of availability and transparency is exactly why I wanted to be on your show today.
Well, and I do appreciate it. And in that spirit, Director Montoya, I have just one last question for you. What is your next concrete step today, tomorrow?
Sure. So I will tell you that as of today, right now, we're still looking at flood response and making sure that the veterans who are scheduled for appointments here in Manchester are appropriately getting dispositioned. You know, we have certainly had a huge outpouring of support from our community providers, you know, Elliott Health System, CMC, Dartmouth Hitchcock, just to name a few, which really assists us in planning where we can shift some of this workload. You know, similarly, we're looking at other VAs within the area, the White River Junction VA as well as the Boston VA, and really managing this. And so I think from that perspective, you know, we're working together as an organization, as a team, to make sure that we provide that care to our veterans. You know, afterwards, you know, we're going to be looking at opportunities for veterans to voice their concerns, their feedback, and then really take that and develop where we want to go as an organization and as is deserved by Manchester and the 800 employees that serve her.
Well, Alfred Montoya, thank you very much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Laura, and I would appreciate the opportunity in the future to join you again.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That's Alfred Montoya, director of the White River Junction VA, and as we heard, he was just appointed as interim director of the Manchester VA after the former director was removed following a Boston Globe report on allegations of substandard care in Manchester. That's what we're looking at this hour in The Exchange, and let's hear from you. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. We have three guests for the rest of the hour. Peter Biello is here, NHPR's host of All Things Considered. He's done extensive reporting on veterans' issues. Peter, thanks a lot.
Glad to be here.
Also with us, Howie Howe, Veterans Service Officer, who serves as a liaison between the Manchester VA and the State Veterans Advisory Committee. Howie coordinates New Hampshire's help on the home front. His military background includes 20 years in the Marines, and he's a veteran of Vietnam. And Howie Howe, good to see you again. Thank you also.
Thank you for the invitation.
And also with us, Dave Kenny, chairman of the New Hampshire State Veterans Advisory Committee. He served in the Navy for 40 years, including as commander. And Dave, welcome. Also nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, and all of you, but Dave, to you first, what's your broad reaction to this Boston Globe report over the weekend and then all the fallout we've seen since?
Well, yeah, first of all, Laura, thank you for the opportunity here. I think what we're looking at here, and I read the report as well from the Boston Globe, I got to say the level of complaints that I saw in the article were shocking. I had heard back from a lot of folks who basically said, gee, you know, we haven't had that experience over there. But then a few have said, yeah, we've had some issues over there. So I think it depends on who you speak to as to the severity of things. But certainly when you read the article in its content and you look at all the different things that the doctors have brought forward, as well as the other whistleblowers, it's shocking to say the least. And it's a surprise to me because I've heard a lot of good things about the VA Medical Center in Manchester, and I've visited both places, and including White River Junction, and you know, they are making some significant efforts on improving things over there. So, yeah, I was very surprised.
Okay, so Howie, you get up on Sunday or Monday, you start reading this. What's your reaction?
Betrayed. That was the first thing that came to my mind, because as my position with the SBAC, with Dave, which Dave heads up, one of
SBAC
my things
against
is
State
to,
Veterans Advisory Committee,
right,
yeah.
is to get the information from the VA to give to the veterans groups what's going on, what's happening. And constantly, of course, I get all the positive notes from them. You know, one of the big things was we totally revamped our operating rooms last year. We're expanding services left and right. We're now doing cataract surgery. We're doing all these great things. And for me to wake up and read an article that says that this operating room has been closed since the end of last year, we're no longer doing cataract surgery, and we've never been told about it, though we meet monthly, and I even go to extra meetings, which Dave knows about, with the director and say, what's going on? What's the problems? How can we help you? If you need more money, who do I got to go beat up to get you more money, to get you the equipment you need? And none of this has come to the surface, and I feel very betrayed by that.
So I'm here to help you, but you're not given the information that you need to help. Why didn't veterans themselves come to you, Howie?
Well, I think they have, but a lot of times you have to sort through what is actually being asked of you or what's being reported, because a lot of times these guys don't understand even what they're eligible for. And you got to remember that after Vietnam, things changed. World War II veterans were all put into a lump category. You're a veteran and you're entitled to VA care. From Vietnam on, they created what they call the priority groups. And each priority group has a different level of medical care or services that they're eligible for. And not all of the veterans understand what they're eligible for. Dental care is a good example. Dental care is not available across the board to veterans. It's World War II veterans. It is former prisoners of war. And it's people who have had injuries that infected or impacted their face or their teeth while serving.
So there's some confusion as to what I'm eligible for.
Right.
So, Peter, how long had these complaints been circulating before this explosive Boston Globe report?
As far as I can tell, the Boston Globe reported that Senator Sheehan's office was in touch with the attorney's office in May of 2016. She may not have known the details at that point. However, in September of 2016, she was sent a detailed letter, about a 5-page letter, from that attorney with many of the allegations that ended up appearing in the Boston Globe. From there, she allegedly consulted with the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, who advised her to send it to the VA's Office of Inspector General and the Office of General Counsel. Those two agencies are in charge of conducting investigations, looking into allegations like that. And as far as I can tell, according to a spokesperson for Senator Shaheen's office, they never received a response from Secretary Shulkin, who was Undersecretary of Health at the time.
Undersecretary of Health at the time. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. And I read that letter this morning, and you're right. It's quite detailed from last fall. It also seems, Peter, that, you know, the docs, the whistleblower docs, as they've been called, they made various complaints to various agencies. Those were not listened to. So in a way, you see this Boston Globe report and you go, wow. But in a way, once you start looking at it, there'd been complaints for a long time.
Right. And the details of who knew what and when are still really fuzzy at this point. I suspect over the coming weeks and months, we'll have more insight about that. But the thing to remember here is that in response to that letter that Senator Shaheen sent, Secretary Shulkin at the time ordered an investigation, and the results were not what the doctors who complained hoped for.
Okay, lots more to dig into, gentlemen, and we will do so after a short break. We'll also take your calls at 1-800-892-6477. Keep it right here. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, a federal investigation is underway at the Manchester Veterans Hospital after reports of substandard care there that was, in some cases, harming veterans. Let's hear from you, your reactions, 1-800-892-6477. Your personal experiences, your questions, again, are welcome, 1-800-892-6477. 8926477. Send email to exchange at nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. One more thing I want to clarify with you, Peter, is the Manchester VA got really high ratings from the federal government. I think a 4 out of 5. What's the rating system based on, Peter, and what's the problem with that?
Well, to say that 4 is high, and I think Dave and Howie can weigh in on that, they have for a story I reported earlier this month, is a little misleading. It's not, as Dave Kenney has said, it's not like rating a hotel. It's not like 4 out of 5 is good and 1 out of 5 is bad. It's based on a couple of things. The first is a measure of improvement year over year. So if you improve a lot, if you have a lot of problems and solve a lot of them, then you will get a higher star rating. And also, according to what Director Montoya told me months ago, is that it's also based on comparisons to other VA hospitals and medical centers within the system. So as he put it, if one goes up, another one has to go down. It's sort of like being graded on a curve. So there have been a couple of reports lately from various news agencies that sort of lead with the idea that this is a 4-star hospital and look at what happens at a 4-star hospital.
Right, that's what the Globe said in its headline.
And you know, it's an easy thing to overlook, but it's not actually what we might think it is. It's a measure of improvement, not a measure of objective quality.
Wow, so you could be really lousy and fix a couple of your problems, and all of a sudden, in that rating system, you look terrific.
Right, and if you're a great hospital, you have very little room for improvement, you could get a 1.
Oh, my goodness. Does this need to be changed, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, to be honest with you, when I read the report a couple months ago, the first thing I did was I called Director Montoya because I was a bit confused. And, you know, I wanted to get a little bit more information about what is behind this star rating system. And I got to tell you, it was pretty complicated. There's the VA formulas that they use to actually come up with these ratings, I would say, is probably useful internally, perhaps, to allow the VA to at least measure on themselves how their improvements are and everything else. But I think they either need to get rid of it or they need to come up with another rating system that they can, you know, produce for the public so that the public understands where the VA medical center is in comparison to either other VA medical centers or perhaps even as a health provider in general. Because as you saw with the Globe story, it's misleading.
Well, I want to pull back to something you said earlier in the show, Dave, and ask everybody as well. Since this report came out, and you said this, many New Hampshire veterans have said, look, I have no idea what they're talking about. I got great care there. How do you explain that disconnect, Dave?
Well, I think, you know, we're looking overall at all the different stories and stuff, and you know, we've heard over the years feedback from a number of veterans with regards to the care they're getting at both White River and BA in Manchester is. It's exactly as you had indicated earlier. Some veterans are going in and getting great care. Other veterans are having difficulties, for example, in making appointments or getting into the system, if you will, and getting access to the doctors or to the nurses and so forth. And if you look at the problem overall, that's one of the ones that bubbles to the surface is it's access to the care. I think a lot of the veterans will tell you that once they get in to see the doctors and the nurses, that they're wonderful people and that they're there to actually take care of veterans. Some of these whistleblowers that are subject to the article, they've been touted as being great physicians, great doctors, have taken wonderful care of the veterans, but it's getting in. And I think that's where a lot of the difficulties occur. And also, which specialties? Some specialties may not be available at certain times. A veteran makes an appointment. He goes in 30 days later and finds out that the doctor he was supposed to see is no longer there.
Or the operating room is closed because of a fly infestation.
Exactly.
Or
exactly.
A camera's not working.
Exactly.
These are some of the other issues. Well, picking up on that, and to you, Howie, that's sort of what I started to key in on after doing all the reading, that in some instances, it seems like the Manchester VA does things very well, but in a few really, you know, important areas, there's a lot of problems. Spinal issues were a problem and so forth. I wonder what you think.
Well, you have to look at this from a realistic point of view, and that is the people that are going to be the most satisfied are the ones that are getting clinical-level care and not the specialty-level care. That's where the division really is, because the people who go to primary care and the urgent care are getting great service, okay? But it's those specialty clinics, orthopedics, dental, podiatry and so forth, dermatology, they don't have what I would call in-depth depth services. A lot of these departments are dependent on one doctor, one provider. And if that provider goes on vacation, has a family incident, decides to retire, a whole clinic can just disappear. Good example was orthopedics. I was being treated by orthopedics for a shoulder problem, getting cortisone shots. And when I went back for a repeat, I found out that the doctor had retired. It took them 4 months to get a doctor in that department. So effectively, they had a department that had a full staff except for a doctor, so they weren't doing anything.
So what did you do about your shoulder? Did you go to, they send you to Boston, or did they put you in Veterans Choice?
It was just a follow-up to make sure. At that point, I was already relieved of the pain, so I was not an incident where I needed to go someplace else, but, you know.
Well, the spinal issues, Peter, came up a lot. A huge concern of one of the whistleblower doctors who was incredibly frustrated that veterans with a certain spinal condition suffered debilitating pain, even paralysis. And he said in the private system that wouldn't have happened.
Right. For whatever reason, the illness in question has, in most circumstances, been eradicated, similar to diseases that we haven't seen in many, many years, because the treatment is readily available if the money is available to spend it. And one of the problems detailed in that attorney's report to Senator Shaheen is that the care was sort of diverted away from the hospital and delays resulted. And so the condition was allowed to worsen. And the allegation is that because of that delay, the condition worsened, and therefore the VA is somewhat culpable for that.
Well, and that's the money issue that we were talking about earlier, right, Peter, with Director Montoya?
Right. And it would be hard for me to believe that this is a unique problem to Manchester. Yeah, the way care outside of the hospital is paid for, there are actually two line items in every VA medical center's budget. One is for care in the community, which is the traditional what they call fee basis. And Dave and Howie can correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. And then there's the Veterans Choice legislation, which was passed 3 years ago. And so if they run out of money in one column, they have to use it from the other. And if sometimes it's not authorized properly. So it becomes a very tricky mess. And I should mention, too, that this is something that Secretary Shulkin is looking to fix, to make it one line item, and that will be somewhat easier to manage for VA hospitals.
Can you address that as well, Dave and Howie, maybe too, how, you know, sometimes the services, as Howie described, aren't available. So the doc says, you know, Dave, I'd really like to send you to, you know, Boston for this. But then the VA administrators say, no, that's too expensive. Let's just have Dave, you know, wait around and we'll see if we can help him later.
Well, you know, this is where we get into this whole issue of systemic problems and things that break down. And as Peter said,
not just Manchester, sure.
Exactly right. And, you know, what I think here, and going back to that specific issue is, you know, when Secretary Shulkin came out with his 10 points of improvement shortly after he took over as Secretary of the VA, one of the things that he focused on was the CHOICE program. And very specifically, he said, we need to revamp it. Now, as you probably know, the legislation recently that released some of the money, if you will, to complete the CHOICE program till the end of the year intentionally was to continue to fund it until the reforms were put into place. Now they're finding out that money is draining quicker than they thought. And
because people are accessing care.
People are accessing care. And so the result is that they're going to probably have to function on this a little bit quicker than they initially anticipated. And so I do agree that they do need to simplify that process. And my message to the secretary essentially has been, look, we need a consistency of care. That's what it boils down to. Going back to the situation Howie was talking to, you need to have a consistency of care across the board if you're going to address some of these issues where some veterans get great care and other veterans don't. Those systems need to be fixed. And whether it takes money, whether it takes an improvement on hiring, and I understand that process is extremely difficult. So there's a lot of issues here to address, and I'm looking forward, quite frankly, to use Manchester as a model of reform, one in which, because it is a smaller facility, I think they can do that here. So this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for the VA to fix things and then use it as a model for other VAs.
Let's hear from our listeners, gentlemen. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And Ray is calling from Auburn. Hi, Ray. Go ahead. You're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning. Go ahead,
yes,
Ray.
Ma'am. Right, yes. Well, I've been listening to the show and read the newspaper this morning and the day before, and I think that the VA has improved. I think it's doing a good job, and I certainly don't want them to go away. I want the VA hospital to stay so I can stay with the program. And it's my biased opinion, I must say, that perhaps some of the complainants are probably the problem. So with that left said, I just want to thank you for the care that I have received from the doctors that I've gone to. They've made me feel comfortable. And when I do return for my yearly visit, I look forward to seeing them. And I'm very happy with them. So please continue with your services.
Well, Ray, thank you for the call. What do you think, Howie? Again, this gets to this disconnect. You know, have some very serious cases in the spinal problem that we talked about. But then we've got people like Ray who say it's been great.
Well, there's a real disconnect into the financing systems that Peter was talking about. There's actually three. There's what's called PC3, which is an actual contracted outside providers in case of specialty services needed. Then you have fee basis, where they don't have a contract, but if they need a service that they don't have available through the system. And then you have the Veterans Choice. And, of course, then you have the in-house care. So I guess we could say four. Mm-hmm. But the Veterans Choice thing has been a big problem, both positive and negative. One of the things is when Congress passed this, it was basically passed because they had no faith in the VA to do the job right. So they kind of forced it into, well, if you can't do it right, we're going to send them out to the community because the community will do it right. I don't necessarily believe that that's true. However, well, there was a big push by the congressionals to make sure that Veterans Choice was pushed to almost to the extent of ignoring in-house and available programs. In fact, the former director before Al Montoya up at White River Junction was basically told, stop sending people out on fee basis, stop sending them out on PC3, use Veterans Choice instead. Now, the one thing I want to say about Veterans Choice is this. The VA itself is required to give you an appointment within 30 days, and if they can't, to offer you an alternative. The outside civilian providers have no such regulation on them. So if you call up and you want a dermatology appointment and they say 6 months out, have a nice day. The VA will pay for it, but it's 6 months out, and there's nothing the VA can do about it. So, I mean, we have to look at it from the point of view of what's best for the veteran, and that's what really concerns people like me and Dave. We want to make sure that they're getting the timely and proper care when they need it.
So let's say, I just want to make sure I'm following you right, Howie. So let's say you have a funny spot on your cheek and boy, you want to get a dermatologist to look at it because you're concerned. You call the VA, they say, we can't see you. Within 30 days, which you definitely want to get that thing seen. But we'll send you out to the private system on Veterans Choice. Veterans Choice has no obligation to make sure you're seen in a timely fashion.
Well, yes. I mean, it's also, let's put it this way, it's run by a third-party administrator whose job is basically to try and figure out who to send you to. Now, when Veterans Choice first started up, their call centers for HealthNet, which is the company that's running it, were all down in, like, Georgia and South Carolina. So you call up, you need a podiatrist. So how the heck are they supposed to figure out who the podiatrist is in New Hampshire? They grab a Yellow Pages. Okay, we've had cases where people were sent farther away than they could have gone if the local VA.
Well, a lot more to dig into after a short break. More on veterans care, recent allegations of substandard care in Manchester. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The creative process isn't always easy, but getting distracted can be.
It feels like you're writing, but it's the equivalent of empty calories.
If you're looking, I have to write 500 words a day, it's not on Twitter. The 10-Minute Writer's Workshop, your source for the productive habits we can all benefit from, along with the guilty pleasures we can all relate to. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, a Boston Globe report reveals allegations of substandard care at the Manchester VA. We're looking at that report and then all the fallout since, including the removal of the director of the Manchester VA and an interim director coming in. We'd love to hear your thoughts, questions, comments about this report, about the investigation now that is ongoing with the federal government, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange at nhpr.org. nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. Peter Biello is here, NHPR's All Things Considered host. Peter's done extensive reporting on veterans issues. Also, Dave Kenny, chairman of the New Hampshire State Veterans Advisory Committee. He served in the Navy for 40 years, including as commander. Howie Howe is with us, veterans service officer. He also coordinates New Hampshire's help on the home front. Howie's military background includes 20 years in the Marines and a veteran of the Vietnam War. And all of you, let's go right back to our listeners. And Julie is in Concord. Hi, Julie. You're on The Exchange. Thanks for being with us.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
What
sure. So glad this is now being addressed. My issue is with my husband. He was a Vietnam veteran. He had a quadruple bypass back in 2015 in West Roxbury, Mass., and signed up for a research study for the harvesting that goes up through the leg to make it more efficient in the future for future veterans. So he was supposed to have a six-week checkup by his primary care to see how that was all going. That never happened, and he died 2 weeks later in our bed.
Oh, I'm so sorry,
and,
Julie.
He did have one follow-up after 2 weeks of the surgery, but the 6 week never happened, and he was in extreme pain, and I just wanted to get that out there. He was only 62, had four children. We had been married about 3 years, and he was the love of my life. And
oh, Julie.
I just wanted to get that out there and see what your guests seemed would say to
right.
me or to everybody else regarding the lack of and I went to Annie Custer in 2016, and she had inquired back last summer, and she got a response saying that everything was done by the book.
Well, and that's kind of what Howie talked about earlier. And Julie, I'm so glad you called. Couple points to follow up, and I'm so sorry about your loss. Peter, go ahead and jump in, and then I have another question, too.
This is not the first of that kind of story that I've heard, and one of the things about checking in on this, and when the hospital says, you know, everything was done by the book, there's almost no way anyone outside the VA can check up on that. There's a federal law that prevents disclosure of stuff like that because it's all part of a quote-unquote medical quality assurance program. So there is, unless you get everybody involved to sign mountains of paperwork, you're not going to see how the doctors took a look at what actually happened in a case like that.
Or didn't take a look
right.
As well. And, you know, her story also speaks to, and Julie, I'm so sorry. It also speaks to, Peter, you know, you read in the Globe Report and in all these other letters and complaints about delays in care. And, you know, in some instances, okay, I don't get in this week, I get in next week. But in some instances, it can be life-threatening.
It certainly can. And it's always tough to draw a line, a direct line between the delay in care and the adverse event, whatever it happens to be. It's just incredibly hard to prove. And for a family that's grieving, you almost they may just say, you know what, this is not worth it. I need to do my grieving some other way.
You know, you talked earlier, Howie, about agitating. And I asked you a question, you know, why didn't veterans themselves agitate more? I want to ask you again about that, you know, veterans who have to wait, like Julie's husband, you know, you wonder, why didn't they say, hey, you know, you need to see me now. I serve this country. You see me now.
Well, there's a problem within, a systemic problem within the VA in general. We have the feeling as veterans that once we're enrolled in the VA, we are somehow enrolled in every VA in the country. That's not true. And one of the biggest problems that we've had over the years, and believe it or not, this is just going to sound totally ridiculous, but the bottom line is, like when Julie's husband was sent down to West Roxbury, West Roxbury now claims him as a regular patient of theirs and gets credit for that services and them as being a West Roxbury patient. That takes away from Manchester. Now, the amount of money that each facility gets is based on the number of actual patients supposedly receiving their care there. So West Roxbury claims them as, now he's ours. It's no longer a case of Manchester being able to follow up on it. Good example, I was in the hospital up in White River Junction. I was treated up there. It was exceptional care. Bottom line is I needed a follow-up inspection, you know, a physical after the care was over, and basically, I was told, you know, that not to do it with Manchester because I was a VA White River Junction patient.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And we have a tremendous amount of snowbirds. Okay. I mean, think about those people. 6 months or 4 months down in the south, they're getting treated down there. They come up here. They still don't count for Manchester if they decided that the primary doctor they like is in Tampa.
So it sounds like that's a system that works more for the bottom line, the numbers of the hospital, than for you, the person seeking care.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think they need to eliminate this idea of who the patient belongs to, and it should be strictly by the number of patients actually treated at the facility during the course of the previous year, and then allow for an increase the next year.
Well, thank you so much, Julie, for the call. And again, we're all very sorry for the loss of your husband. He sounds like a wonderful person. You mentioned something earlier too, Dave, that I wanted to ask everybody about. You said, okay, all this stuff we're hearing about at Manchester is, you know, concerning, but you also said it's an opportunity for improvement. So how do you hope, Dave, officials in Manchester, officials at the federal level, take this opportunity?
You know, it's right now, obviously, with all these issues, there's a number of different areas in which need to be addressed, as brought up by not only the newspaper articles, but by Peter and a lot of other folks that are intrinsically involved with the VA system. So, you know, the first thing that that came to my mind after the meeting on Monday was, yeah, this is an opportunity. And for all the reasons stated, I mean, it's a very small clinic compared to other VA facilities around the country. So this is a great place to actually start the ball rolling in terms of determining best practices, things that work well, even within themselves. We've already heard stories of folks getting great care there. So great, let's take a look at that and find out why is it they're getting great care, and then let's reiterate that to other facilities and get that going. And then going back to the previous point is we need to stop this internal competition with VA facilities.
Which Howie described, yeah.
Which is what Howie described. It's nonsense. And, you know, we've all been told that the VA system in itself is nationwide and in some cases globally. So there is no reason in the world why a veteran should not be able to go to a facility in Tampa and get the same level of care that they can expect up at Manchester. That's really a crucial part of this reform. And so I think it's on us as veterans to keep their feet to the fire and to actually force these reforms from the top down. We want the secretary to listen to the veterans. We want him to listen to the patients. And we also want him to listen to the doctors that are executing this care and look at who's doing the best job and put that down as an SOP for everybody across the country. So that's exactly the kind of reform that we're hoping for here. And we don't want them to miss this opportunity. So I will keep bringing that up consistently over the days to come here to make sure that they understand that they don't squander this.
What do you want to see happen in terms of improvement, opportunity,
well,
Howie?
I think one interesting thing that came out in that article was the fact that they bought a $1 million nuclear camera, and nobody apparently at the VA has a tape measure and was able to measure the room to figure out if it would fit in. So now we have this camera, which, by the way, was stated as probably the greatest device that could have helped all these spinal injury people, and yet here it now sits in storage because they've got no place to put it.
Yeah, doc said that, by the way, nobody asked them what kind of camera to get, and if they had been asked, they would have gotten the right size or kind. Go
ahead. Well, yeah. I mean, the camera they got is the perfect camera. The problem is, like I said, nobody went and measured the room. I mean, I've been hearing about this from the X-ray or what do they call that department down there?
The MRI department.
It's X-rays and right. I forget the term they use for the whole department, but you know, the bottom line, they've known this is coming, but they don't know when it's going to happen. I mean, you have to talk to the people in the department. They didn't know that there was a room size problem. So, I mean, there's decisions being made that are probably the right decisions, but they're not being totally figured out as to whether or not the application. And I want to mention something that's really interesting here. Last year, they completely revamped both of those operating rooms. They tore them right down to the concrete. They went through and they rebuilt them. So to hear that this is fly problem that's been going on for years is still there, I'm saying to myself, what? Nobody had any...
How hard is it, really,
to
get rid of that?
They talked about the sanitation issue on the instruments. For 6 months, sitting out front of the building was a sanitation trailer that was basically taking all this equipment, sanitizing and sending it in. How could you build a new sanitation center inside and you can't even get that job done?
Well, so lots of first steps for Director Montoya to take, for this federal investigation team to make. Real quick, Howie, yeah.
Yeah, real quick. I mean, let's understand something, that right now what's going on is we've got a man at the helm who's a very good man, Al Montoya. He's only there on a temporary basis, and the actual desire here is to find out whether or not they're even going to terminate the employment of the former director. The expectation at this point, even from the veterans organizations, is she will be back.
We will follow up on this story for sure, and I know Peter Biello will be following up as well. Right now, I want to thank everybody for being here. Thank you very much. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.